should start with a question, and that would be, Forbes.com recently listed Detroit as America's most dangerous city. And with Travis Miller from HammerandRails.com, our Purdue blog, on the line, I would like to first ask, have you been murdered yet?
No, I am still alive and well. Actually, it was pretty safe downtown last night. They had ice skating after dark on the square, so I was kind of surprised at that.
That's intentional ice skating, right? Not the kind that Detroit's known for, where they find half-frozen homeless men face down in the ice, right? This was intentional ice skating.
Yeah, this was intentional ice skating, probably about a block and a half from the Greektown Casino.
Okay, so for those of you unfamiliar with what we're doing here, this is the 35 for 35 podcast. Welcome! We're talking about the Pizza Bowl, Purdue versus Western Michigan, with, and I will say this, the original Pizza Bowl. Little Caesars has been down like this. I mean, they've been down for bowl games for what, at least 4 years, at least. And Little Caesars, like Detroit, believe it or not, still exists as a bowl destination, by the way. Could you just share with us a few things that maybe are unexpectedly good or okay about the Detroit Bowl experience?
Well, the benefit of it is you can go to Canada, so you can visit a completely different country from the U.S. and go over to the land of poutine, casinos, strippers, and clubs that are closed on a national holiday called Boxing Day. So that's what we did yesterday. We hopped over to Windsor just to check out the atmosphere and everything, and really there was virtually nothing going on. There was a coffee shop open, and that was about it.
So let's just review. The main drawing point thus far is that you can go somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly. You know, they have casinos on both sides of the river. There's one in Windsor, and I think there's two or three here in downtown Detroit. But I got to thinking while we were in Windsor, I'm like, okay, if I do any gambling at Caesars Windsor and, you know, God forbid I actually win some significant amount of money, how would that be handled tax-wise? Would the Canadians tax me? Would the Americans tax me? Would I get taxed twice? Would I have to smuggle across the border? So I kind of avoided gambling in Canada.
I would do this. Just screw it and dare the Mounties to come get you. That's it. Be like, all right, if you really have Wolverine, send him after me for like the $15 in taxes that I owe you. Because that would, Canada would probably do it. He'd just be polite about it. Like, he'd rip open the top of your car like a sardine can, pull you up, and then say, please, would you please give me 15 American dollars on the taxes that we owe you? I really should ask you also about the weather, because I think Detroit gets a bad rap, but when you say something gets a bad rap, that doesn't necessarily exclude the possibility of it getting a bad rap for a good reason. What's the weather like up there right now?
It's currently snowing, which is what you want out of every bowl destination. The only other bowl game for Purdue that I've been to, I went to the Rose Bowl when they went with Drew Brees. And, you know, Southern California on New Year's Day with 75 degrees and sun, you know, it pales in comparison to, you know, a frozen urban hellscape with snow coming down, so...
Frozen urban. Don't you mean Detroit's unique pastiche of the modern and postmodern? All right, new Detroit. That's what it's. Remember, it's just like that Eminem commercial. There's all sorts of gospel choirs just waiting in abandoned theaters to accompany your every thought. The Purdue Boilermakers entering this contest. Really, was this one of those things where? I mean, I'm with you, by the way. For once, as a Florida fan, I can say we're on equal footing because you were 6-6. And I remember going into our last stretch thinking, I might not want a bowl game. That's really like, at least you have a bowl game that you can win. I remember thinking, like, oh, I don't really, like, can we just go 5-7 and just cash this year so I don't have to have any more Florida football? Because I just didn't want to watch it. At 6-6, was that your approach going into this, or are you now sort of thinking, no, we can finish this out?
Yeah, it's one of those where I kind of like it that we have a winnable game, and we haven't been to a bowl in 4 years since, well, our last bowl game was in Detroit in 2007. So, you know, it's refreshing to be able to end the season with a game other than beating Indiana, which is how we usually end every season. But, you know, as far as Florida goes, you guys could beat Ohio State. We beat Ohio State, for crying out loud. I mean, we own Ohio State and West Lafayette. They do not walk into Ross State Stadium and expect to win.
Which is, by the way, magnificent trolling by Purdue. That you guys have some sort of massive, like, that they cannot get motivated to play you. It's like some kind of apathy cloud that just seeps into their bones over West Lafayette.
We won four of the last six games against them in West Lafayette, and one of their wins was that infamous Holy Buckeye play that makes my eyes bleed every time I see it. So
yeah, we won't mention the fact that Urban Meyer just rolled into town. We won't mention that, even though he just did. By the way, you still could do that. You could have that kind of hold over Ohio State because Urban Meyer had that at Florida. They were called Auburn. And really, Auburn is Purdue and Auburn, very similar places, minus literacy and an awareness of sexually transmitted diseases, which I'm granting Purdue, not Auburn. What should we look for with Western Michigan here? I mean, like, what are you concerned about in this game?
They have a pretty good passing game, and they have statistically the nation's best receiver in Jordan White. And Alex Carter's he's a junior quarterback that's been starting for 3 years, and he's put up pretty good numbers. I mean, yeah, they're MAC numbers, but still got to be able to throw the ball around. And Jordan White, I believe he leads the nation in, I think, touchdowns, receptions, receiving yards, you know, pretty much every receiving category known to man. So that kind of concerns me because defense isn't our strong suit at times. We'll have games where we look good, and then we'll have games like the Wisconsin game where it was, oh, after you, Mr. Monty Ball. So, you know, that's a major concern, and especially since we have our leading tackler suspended for the bowl game because he got arrested for a DUI a couple weeks ago. So we have that added a benefit, and we had two other starters get arrested on defense, but they are not suspended because they decided, it was just for parking tickets. We're getting an early jump on the Fulmer Cup. We would have like 10 or 15 points by now if it was actually in action.
Yeah, you're warming up the Fulmer Cup elbow. That's very impressive.
Yeah.
The announcers for this game, by the way, which you won't hear, and lucky you for that. But well, maybe not. No. I mean, really, this is who you get. You get Beth Moens, Mike Bellotti, and Emin McEnany. Emin, some guy named Emin on color commentary. Beth Moens, by the way, not bad. She doesn't suffer that Pam Ward error rate. She's like, if we're talking about female football announcers, Beth Moens is she's the Doris Burke of female football announcers, and that's a good thing. Mike Bellotti, on the other hand, I always get the feeling that Mike Bellotti is just reading off of the pablum sheet, the random pablum sheet. You won't have that. You will be indoors in the stadium. Have you ever seen a game at Ford Field?
I've never been to Ford Field. I've got season tickets to the Colts, so I've been to plenty of games indoors in this weather. And it's nice when it's snowing and you can just go indoors. Although I will say that Colts fans flipped out the first game that they had at Lucas Oil Stadium where the roof was open and the sun was out. They acted like there had never been outdoor football played before. There were fans complaining about having to sit in the sun. I kid you not.
I believe that. The other thing that I would believe about this experience is that it'll be colder in the stadium than you think. That's the other thing about indoor stadiums and cold weather. When they close it, you're like, man, this really didn't do much. In fact, some indoor stadiums, you can literally feel the wind blow through them. I don't know if Ford Field is one of those, but usually they tend to be a little colder than one might think. Just like the Superdome in New Orleans tends to be just as hot as the rest of New Orleans, but with a roof on it, so the breeze never blows out of there. It's really magnificent. Are there any things that you have seen in Detroit, by the way, which have been exactly what you expected, i.e., RoboCop quality dystopian sort of things?
It was last night in downtown. It seemed to go in pockets. You know, there would be streets that would be absolutely completely deserted, and then boom, you would run into a street that had people walking around, restaurants open, and everything else. And then the next street, completely deserted, and then you get to Greektown, which has all the lights and a bunch of bars and a bunch of restaurants open late and everything else. So it kind of just went in pockets, really. And the only other time I'd been to Detroit came up in the summer a few years ago for a Tigers game. And that was a little bit different because then it's actually warm instead of having people, you know, run back and forth between building and building when it's 20 degrees out.
Yeah, the final question I have for you is, what is the maximum number of turnovers Caleb Turbush can commit and Purdue still have a chance in this game?
I would say two. And he keeps a hold of the ball fairly well. He splits time with Robert Marv, of course, who will try to come back for a sixth year next year. That way we can play four quarterbacks at once instead of just two. But Turbush, he's one of those guys, you got to call him a game manager. I hate that term, but it's true with him. He is really good the first drive of the game. I think we scored a touchdown on like 8 of the first 12 games. On the opening drive, we managed to score a touchdown because he's great about their scripted plays. But outside of that, he is totally, all right, I am not throwing the ball further than 10 yards down the field, or I'm handing off, or I'm doing a read option run for 3 yards up the middle.
Well, good luck with the management of the game, and good luck with Robert Marv's 15th year of eligibility. If only he hadn't punched that car mirror in Miami. Oh, how the history of college football would have been almost entirely the same, really, when you look at it. So let's just...
Well, we've been putting up with it in my household the entire career because my wife is a University of Miami alum, and she follows their program as close as I follow Purdue, so she was following him from the beginning.
Oh, so Robert Marv at least has 3 stalkers. At least.
Yes. Yes.
Because remember, stalkers are like cockroaches. If you see one in public, there's like 2 behind the wall.